This will conclude our series on some of the Old Testament things. We're going to be preaching in a variety of different areas for the next few months. Lord has moved me to do this. I'd like to go back and finish some of the minor prophet books that we haven't touched in a while. I'd like to go back and remind ourselves of those things. But we are going to take a break and move into other areas for a while. Amos was a prophet. The more I study Amos, he is classified as a minor prophet. The more I study Amos, I think he was more like a major prophet. He spoke to the northern tribe of Israel. He was from Judah. He was a man that was a farmer. He was tending his flocks, picking the fruit that the Lord allowed him to have. And one day God came to him and said, I have a message for my nation Israel. I want you to take it to them. He goes to Bethel, which is the place where the king would go for a time of worship, a time of religious rituals, and he started preaching there. And Amos's message was exactly what God wanted him to preach. The king had a, what you might call a spiritual director that was sort of over all the preachers, except one, and his name was Amos. And this spiritual director came to Amos and said, Amos, your message is a little bit too much for us. I think you ought to go back to Judah. You need to go back and preach to them. We don't need what you have. It's sad when people need exactly that and they don't even know it. It's sad when a nation is crumbling, but because of their spiritual choices. And there are prophets and preachers that God has sent to warn. That's exactly what he did to the nation of Israel. And they still chose to follow that direction, and 140 years later, Judah followed the same suit. And what a sad commentary it is when God looked at his nation and said, remove them out of my sight. I no longer want to see them. God's got a plan for his nation. God's not done with Israel. We all know that. God's going to use them. God's going to work with them. But understand this, God will only put up with your sin for so long. He'll only put up with your rebellion so long. Your rejection of him and your ignoring him. God will only put up with that for so long. Amos chapter 9 is where we're going to start tonight. We're going to go back to Amos 3, Amos 5, and Amos 6. So you'll want to keep the book of Amos open. This will probably be a real short message. It probably will. Every time I say that, it's always a long message. But, I don't have too many notes. I've just got a few notes. But Lord's got a message here for us, and so let's get into it. Amos chapter 9. Let's stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, and we'll get right into this. Amos chapter 9, verse 11. Notice what the Word of God says. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and of all the heathen which are are called by my name, saith the Lord, that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the trader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof, and they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. And we think we can get Israel to give up their land? No way. God's given it to them. It's theirs. We better leave it alone. We better leave it alone. The title of the message tonight, Hate, Woe, and Hope. Hate, Woe, and Hope. Father, bless now this effort of preaching. We sure need your help. Guide us through this as we look at the message from Amos. We know that this was written to the nation Israel. And we know that Judah heard exactly what you gave to the northern tribe. Judah, being the southern tribe, chose to follow the same thing. Our Bibles tell us that the things written here are written for our warning, for our admonition, that we might not fall in the same traps and pits that these before us have done. Lord, I pray tonight that you might bless, that you might speak to hearts, that you would deal with some that may need to be saved tonight. But that, Lord, you also might deal with Christians. Might our relationship be closer and better than it's ever been before. May we never get to the place of playing church, of just going through religious rituals when we come to church. Might we always be concerned about our relationship with you. Lord, I pray tonight that we would never follow the path of the Pharisees. We know you hate the ways of the Pharisees. Might we not be church players? Might we be serious participants in a relationship with you? Bless now. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You'll notice verse 11 of our text is dealing with, of course, the temple of God. And we notice that God does have a plan for Israel. And we'll get into that a little further, a little bit later in the message. Amos was a prophet of God, and when a prophet of God came to your town, it was normally not a good thing. He was there to tell you you're doing something wrong. The prophets that we know of in our Bible were not men going around patting men and women on the back saying, hey, you're doing a good job. That wasn't their ministry. That wasn't their job. They normally came and gave you woes. You're doing something wrong. You're headed the wrong direction. Straighten it up. That's what the prophet ministry was all about. Amos was a man who feared no man. But he did fear the Lord. He reverenced God. And he preached and told the northern kingdom everything God gave him, he said to them. Didn't matter what the reaction was, he still gave them the truth. Some people don't want to hear the truth. They are afraid of it. And they run from hearing the truth. But that's exactly what you need to hear. A true friend is somebody to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And we sure need to remember that. As we look at this prophet, Amos, he spoke to the northern kingdom. This prophecy was about 40 years away from what God said in 2 Kings 17. This is a close time. Keep your finger there in Amos. We'll come right back to it, but turn over to 2 Kings 17. We're going to go back and read some more of 2 Kings 17 because I want you to see the attitude that Israel had that Amos was talking about. But I want you to look at verse 18. 2 Kings 17, verse 18. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. God said, I am so tired of them. I am so tired of their rebellion, their stubbornness. I want them removed out of my sight. I want them gone. You know what that tells me? It tells me God's had enough. God's had enough of their attitude. God used the Syrians to take them away in bondage. And they were removed out of God's sight. God had sent them prophets for 180 years. And you know what God wanted? This is what he wanted. Repent. Turn from your evilness. Turn from the way you're treating me. Turn from it. Did they turn? No. No, they did not turn. The northern kingdom, Israel, had 18 kings. And every one of them was a sorry dog. They were all sorry, sorry kings. And folks, leadership guides you somewhere. And we better realize that as a nation. We get the wrong leaders leading us. They'll lead us somewhere. And Israel messed up because it had terrible leadership. And the people chose to follow the leaders instead of following God. And it's a sad, sad thing when leadership is the problem. But that's exactly what was going on right here in Israel. God had had enough. And we better not forget, God had sent them roadblocks for what was going on. The preachers were there. The prophets were there saying, stop, quit going this way. But they wouldn't listen. You go, well, how bad was it, Brother Ron? Well, turn over to 2 Kings 17. Notice what the Bible says in verse 7. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, and from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced cities. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen, whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols. Now wait a minute, we're talking about Israel. For they served idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. You know what he said? Repent and follow me. Listen to what I'm saying. That's all they had to do. Verse 14. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the necks of their fathers that did not believe the Lord their God. And they rejected the statutes of His covenant that He made with their fathers, and His testimonies which He had testified against them. And they followed vanity or emptiness, things that did not have any matter at all. Verse 16. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, and they make them molten images. Hey, they did that when they left Egypt. Have they not learned anything? Verse 17 says, sad verse. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire. Their children were following the same line of thinking. Folks, this is a sad time in the nation of Israel. Sad, sad time. Amos dealt with their sin. He identified the nature of their sin. He told them what it was. And they ignored him and they ignored God. And Amos simply said in his message, if you sin against God and you won't repent, judgment is coming. That was his message. That's pretty plain. Turn around from what you're doing. If you don't, judgment is coming. And understand this. God's been kind. God's been patient. Hey, folks, do not forget this. He's been putting up with this junk for over 240 years. This particular attitude. He's been putting up for 240 years. And he's been patient. He's been long-suffering. But now God's had enough. He's tired of it all. God's holiness and understanding. God's holiness demanded that he deal with their sin. You say, well, you know, I've been getting by pretty good. I got this sin going on, but I've been getting by. Might ought to look out. God can get your attention real quick. He can have enough. Say, I'm done with it. I'm through. And he'll deal with the nation's sin, but folks, he'll also deal with our sin as individuals. And I'll never forget, in my own personal life, when God brought a sin to my mind during a preaching service. And I remember exactly where I was. This preacher was preaching, and he was raking my backyard. And I didn't want to hear it, but I heard it. And I knew that day that I had to get that right with God. I had a sin in my life, and I had to get it right with God. And boy, when that altar was opened, I ran to that altar, wanting to get it right. You go, why? Because I know my God loves me. And He's my Heavenly Father. And I believe all my heart that He can get my attention. Huh? I believe he can, and he will. In fact, my Bible tells me in the book of Hebrews that he'll chastise those that he loves. And that's part of you knowing you're saved. God dealing with you still afterwards. And boy, we need to understand that. You know, God deals with us. Many of us that are a little bit older, we were raised a little different way. We had the place of, we didn't have a quiet time. When I was raised, we'd never heard of such a thing. All we had was woodshed. My grandparents knew how to use it. They liked to go visit it quite often, and I got the joy of going with them. I remember the worst spanking I ever got in my life was from my great-grandmother. And my great-grandmother liked to use a willow branch. You know why she liked a willow branch, Brother Carter? Because it gets you twice. Get you the first time when it struck and go around you and hit you again. Whoa! I can still remember that spanking. I was about 5 or 6, I think, and Grandma poured it on me. You know, I was doing some stupid thing kids do, you know, and boy, I remember Grandma saying, "I love you, but boy, we're not going to do this." I wouldn't quit, and Grandma said, "All right, time for me to get your attention." She knew how to do it, and here's why. Here's what I knew. I knew why I was getting spanked. I knew the reason. God told Israel, stop. Turn around. 240 years. Seemed like they would have stopped and turned around. But they didn't. You know what they did? They pressed further into it. Now, God's blessed the nation of Israel. God's got a plan for them. That's the hope part of our message. In fact, keep your finger in Amos, but go over to the book of Romans just real quick. Romans 9. We looked at this last week, but I need to reiterate it to bring everybody up to par. Notice what it says in Romans 9. This is about the nation of Israel. Remember, Jews go to heaven the same way you go to heaven. There's no plan special for Jews to go to heaven. They have to come through Christ. But they have been a blessed people. They are God's nation. Verse 4 says, Romans 9, who are the Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. That's the sevenfold privilege of the Israelites right there. They are a blessed nation. What did the nation of Israel do? The Orthodox Jew does not believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They've rejected it. They've doubted it. And so God gave them what they wanted. And our Bibles tell us in Romans 11, verse number 25, this is the state of Israel now. For I would not, brethren, that ye would be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Israel was turned over to blindness. because they rejected Jesus Christ. God gave them what they wanted. But one day, He's going to open their eyes. And one day, they're going to realize they're following the false Messiah. They're following the Antichrist. And they're going to turn to Christ. They're going to turn to Christ in groves. But now, notice something else about our message. Turn over to Amos again. Amos chapter 3. And let me show you something here real quick about the nation. Notice what it says. Amos chapter 3. Look at verse 14. That in the day that I shall visit the transgression of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel. Oh, remember Bethel? We talked about it earlier. That was the place of playing religion. That's where the king went, remember? I told you. That's where he had his religious director controlling everybody. And they would play church and have religious rituals. And the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. And I will smite the winter house with the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, saith the Lord. The people of Israel knew their sin. They knew God wanted them to turn around. It was before their very eyes. God knew all about their sin. And what they do, they just kept living in it and kept moving into it. And it led them to excess luxury. And you know what God did? God reaches down and says, "All right, I'm going to touch your luxury. I'm going to touch it. You are a self-indulgent people. You think you don't need me? I'm going to touch it." Now look out when God touches them. We learned something about this about 5-6 weeks ago. Remember the ships? How many remember the ships? What happens to a ship if God touches it? It don't work. Ships don't ship. Huh? Amen. That's what we learn. And folks, people can live in they can just live luxurious lives. And people can say, "Boy, my money, my wealth, what I have, what my stuff." I was preaching in the East Coast, and I was preaching in the state of Connecticut, and we were in a city called Norwalk, Connecticut. And we were with some people that said, "Hey, would you like to go look at the mansions that are around the oceanfront?" Excuse me, near Norwalk. I said, "Sure." So we went down to the ocean and we started driving around. And boy, the first one we pulled up to, I went, "Boy, that's nice." And he said, "Oh, no, that's the caretaker's house." And I said, "Where's the mansion?" He said, "Well, just wait a minute." And we drove over this little hill, and down by the ocean was this mansion like I can't even imagine. I couldn't imagine. The first thing I thought of, "Boy, I'd hate to clean that deal." And I thought, "Boy, the utilities must be terrible." And I noticed as we drove down that section, one after the other tried to outdo the one before it. It's the way it was. Just one after another. Just luxury, 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 luxury. You know, I heard of a house that was built here not too long ago. You know what it cost to build it? $38 million. But there was a movie star that recently had a remodel done to his house. You know what a remodel cost? Tim, you might want to remember this when you remodel your wife's house next time. $18 million. To remodel. Huh? I can't even imagine that kind of money. That people living in luxury. Please realize that. Realize God never condemns prosperity or having things. You know what God looks at? He looks at greed and covetousness. God looks at those things that are wrong. When your stuff starts controlling you, when what you have is more important than He is. And that's exactly the mindset of Israel. And Amos is confronting this. And here in Amos 3, verse 14 and 15, and look, these folks were very stubborn. Look at Amos chapter 4, look at verse 6. And the Bible says, "And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all the cities, and the want of bread in your places, yet ye've not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And I also have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it to not rain upon another city. And when one piece was rained upon, and the piece whereon it rained not withered. And so two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have you not returned unto me." See, God tried to get their attention. God used thing after thing after thing, and they wouldn't turn around. They just went on. They were stiff-necked. They were rebellious. At chapter 4, notice what it says in verse number 4. Amos 4, 4. "Come to Bethel and transgress at Gilgal. Multiply transgressions and bring your sacrifice every morning in your tithes after 3 years, and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with Laban, and proclaim and publish the free offerings for this is liking you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord." You know what? Their thought process was wrong. They thought they could mess around with other idols and other gods, and they could go after pagan deities and be involved in bits of ritual, religious rituals. And Amos said, it's not going to work. They had become very religious. Look at chapter 5 of Amos. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says, "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. But ye seek not Bethel, nor either Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live." Turn around. Every chapter's turn around. Turn around. Stop. Turn around. They thought God was impressed with their rituals. They thought God was impressed. Hey, it's sort of like the attitude. I'm going to get up out of bed today, eat me some good breakfast, put my nice clothes on. I'm going to go to church today. And it's almost like you got the attitude, I'm blessing God for my attendance. Folks, if you're saved, you ought to be in church. You're not doing a great thing going to church. We ought to be in church. And you go, well, you know, I think God's impressed with me, my effort. Boy, you live a shallow Christian life. Very shallow. God's not impressed with our attendance. He expects it. Please understand, this is the attitude Israel has. It's like a wife who spends 4 days a week out running the streets, being with other men. The fifth day she comes home and her husband says, "Where you been?" "Well, I've been doing what I want to do." Who you been with? Well, I've been with who I wanted to be with. How do you think that husband would feel? How do you think God feels when we ignore Him? When we let other things creep into our life to take His place? That's idol worship. How do you think God feels when you just go on with your life and you totally leave Him out? You never talk to Him. You never read the book. And you never care about your relationship until you need Him. That's a sad commentary on people's relationships. The day of judgment was coming to them. Amos 5, verse 18 says, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord! To what end is the darkness and not the light? And as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear meet him, or went into the house and leaned on his hand and the wall had a serpent and bit him, shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light?" You know what they were doing? They were playing games with God. God's judgment was coming, and they were dodging some of it, but they were just playing around. Look at chapter 5, verse 21. "I hate and despise your feast day." Now here God's talking about His hate. You know what God was tired of? Their religion, their rituals, their put on. Their facade. Oh, please never forget. God hates the ways of the Pharisees. We don't play with God. We come to church, we ought to be ready to worship. We ought to be ready to meet with God. We shouldn't come and just play with church and our relationship. That's what God is telling Israel. You're playing the game. You're not serious. God was serious. How many times have you known people? And you could look at them and you could say, "Boy, they're sure playing church, aren't they?" I wonder if that's ever been said of you. How are you in your relationship with the Lord? How close are you to Him tonight? He wants to be involved in every area of your life. Don't keep Him at bay. Don't keep Him at an arm's length. Let Him move in. Develop a close relationship with the Lord. If you don't, going to church, all your service will become mechanical. And it will become something you have to do. It won't be something you want to do anymore. As I started off tonight, a good friend of mine, Carl Boonstra, said, "Don't forget who He is. Don't leave Him out of your life, Ron. Never forget. Never forget who He is." Father, bless what has been said tonight. Thank You for the book of Amos. Thank You for the truth. Help us to have a close walk